538 Astrobo Simone Mata Cavalier versus Taylee T. Tula. At this time, Mr. Rivera Rios, please introduce yourself on the record to begin.
Yes, good morning, Your Honors, and everyone here present in the courtroom. For the record, Counselor Victor M. Rivera Rios on behalf of the appellant Taylee T. Tula. Your Honor, permission to reserve two minutes at least for rebuttal.
Yes.
Thank you. Your Honors, this appeal is being submitted before this court because we understand that the case that was used by the district court, the case of Taniguchi versus Campax Saipan Limited, 566 U.S. 560, is distinguishable compared to the case in that we have before you. In that case, they were analyzing whether translation services could be deemed as cost under the statute of 28 U.S.C. 1920, subsection 6, and it had to do with a case before the district court in Northern Mariana Islands. That case before the district court of Northern Mariana Islands should not be taken into account when you're talking about a case here in the District Court of Puerto Rico. And I'm bringing forth to this court that in Puerto Rico we have a statute called the Jones Act, which is the the statute here. It's 48 U.S.C. But the statute of the Jones Act is a statute that was particularly made for the District of Puerto Rico, where it states that everything that any claims and all the procedures, appeals, certiorarios, judicial proceedings in the U.S. District Court of Puerto Rico must be conducted in English. This statute does not apply to any other district outside of Puerto Rico, at least in Northern Mariana Islands. And I think taking into account Taniguchi, in the opinion of Honorable Judge Alito, he was taking into account two statutes, if the Court Interpreters Act and the Taxation Cost Statute. That was something the Jones Act was not taken into account in that case. And we understand that because that Jones Act was not used in that case, we could distinguish the case that's before this court in order to reverse the district court's decision to not grant the cost for, I believe it was around almost $6,000 in translation services.
I think we have a case, though, that sort of says the opposite of what you're arguing here, right? And I don't think we held there, but we suggested that Taniguchi was binding on us.
I was looking at the Taniguchi case, and in one page 575, Judge Alito made a mention in that paragraph that the respondent in that case did not demonstrate that the translations arise with overwhelming frequency in the Northern Mariana Islands. And it also talked about how those translations are not, whether they're considered dispensable or indispensable in that court. I think that's distinguishable here in Puerto Rico because even the district court judge, Dominguez, had a footnote in his opinion, if I recall, where he's talked about how Puerto Rico is a mainly Spanish-speaking country, how we always the translations here in Puerto Rico, day-to-day, there's always Spanish documents being translated to English. That's a day-to-day thing in federal court litigation in Puerto Rico. And because of that reason, we understand that these translation services should be deemed as costs and that the court should reverse that decision of the district court and order.
Counsel, would you please, you've mentioned that footnote too. I want to be, what is your understanding? It's cited, not really explained. What is your understanding of the significance of that footnote? Is it an argument that because here in Puerto Rico, in order to participate in the federal court, translation services will always be required because of that English language requirement, that as a matter of basic fairness, any participant in the federal court proceedings was a condition of participation has to get translation services, they should be able to recover those as costs. Is that sort of the idea?
Yeah, I mean, we can take that footnote that Judge Dominguez, I think is number two, as you said, takes into account the, you know, the historical context of the District of Puerto Rico. But what we need to take, that footnote with the page 575 of the case of Taniguchi. In page 575, Judge Alito said that respondent in Taniguchi did not demonstrate that there's overwhelming frequency of translations, that he didn't demonstrate that it was dispensable or indispensable. My understanding, with all due respect to Your Honor, is that Puerto Rico, as a mainly Spanish-speaking district, that the United States government knew that it was mainly Spanish-speaking in 1917 when they passed the Jones Act. They obligated all parties that would submit themselves to the federal court of the United States that they need to translate everything to English. In fact, in this district, there's three local rules, Local Rule 43, Local Rule 20, and Local Rule 5, that states that everything has to be in English. All the documents, all the depositions, everything, obviously, in the trial testimony. And that's something that is distinguishable with that Taniguchi. And if I might turn the page to the second issue here, is the attorney fees issue. In that argument, our position is that the district court erred in not finding that the appellee was litigating this case in bad faith. And we understand that the district court's opinion denying the motion for attorney fees is inconsistent with his opinion dismissing the case. In his opinion dismissing the case, he takes into account on the record everything that occurred 1 year prior to his decision. He talks about how the appellee submitted himself in the state courts of Puerto Rico since February of 2020, where the appellee actually requested remedies under the ICARA and Hague Convention, the Hague Convention, sorry, and the ICARA Act. They specifically requested that court to assist them. They told that court in the Puerto Rico courts, they said, my client was forum shopping in Puerto Rico. And with that argument, he's saying it should go to Colombia. And the appellee, inconsistently doing those arguments in Puerto Rico state courts, then comes to the federal court. He himself forum shopping to try to oppress the appellant in litigating two cases, parallel cases that Judge Dominguez understood were sufficiently similar that merited the abstention doctrine. That case was litigated for 10 months, and then it was dismissed on November 4th of 2020, but there were two remedies that the appellant had and the appellee as well, because if they wanted to pursue the request for ICARA and Hague Convention remedies, they could have filed a motion for reconsideration and an appeal.
Counsel, because your time is running, I just want to be sure on the translation cost. What would be the rationale that you want us to adopt as in light of footnote two in particular? What's the rationale that you want us to adopt as to why those costs should be recoverable? I ask that because it sounds to me like what you're really saying is there needs to be some kind of legislative fix here, some kind of statutory amendment that would make clear that these kind of translation costs are recoverable. I'm not sure I understand what the judicial rationale would be for what you're asking.
So Your Honorable Judge Lipas, to your question, I mentioned that in Taniguchi, Honorable Judge Alito interpreted two statutes. It was the Court Interpreters Act and the 28 U.S.C. Section 1920. He interpreted those statutes in conjunction with one another. He was making an interpretation as to the definition of interpreters between those two statutes. I am coming before you, Your Honor, bringing a third statute, the Jones Act statute. That statute should also be interpreted in conjunction with those other two statutes.
Can I trying to figure out how that plays out textually. So one phrase is compensation of interpreters, right?
Yes.
Okay, and one possibility is you're saying we should read compensation of interpreters to include the translation here, notwithstanding Taniguchi.
Well, you should, Your Honor, that's subsection 6.
So you're not so if you're not making that argument, the other possibility is you're saying it's other expenses not specifically allowed by statute but necessary for the case?
That subsection 4 talks about necessary costs that may be interpreted as exemplification of costs of making copies of materials where copies are necessary for use in the case. That's an example. I guess
am I right in reading the district court? What the district court seemed to say is that broader provision couldn't be read to authorize costs here because it's not compensation of interpreters.
The district court limited themselves as to interpreters, the definition of Taniguchi. And Taniguchi was focused solely on the interpreter definition and that subsection.
Correct, but the way I read the district court is the district court seems to be saying the other subsections which provide for other expenses that can be taxed as costs, right?
I understood that the district court limited themselves to the interpreter definition as they said.
Although the taxation of costs guidelines provide that other expenses not specifically allowed by statute but necessary for the case may be taxed as costs only with prior authorization granted by the court, the court is prevented from exercising its discretion based on the Supreme Court's determination that the compensation of interpreters that may be awarded under the federal taxation of cost statute is limited to the cost of oral translation. This does not include the cost of document translation.
So my understanding, and this is, respectfully to Judge Dominguez, he limited himself automatically based on the Taniguchi opinion.
I'm trying to understand textually is the point that even though compensation of interpreters doesn't cover this circumstance.
Based on the definition under Taniguchi. Yes.
The other provision can, even if what is being covered is the compensation of, is payment for an interpreter. I mean, payment for translation service.
Payment for translation service.
And you're saying it doesn't count as compensation of interpreters, but who cares? Because it fits within this other provision, and the reason it does is because the Jones Act makes it necessary for the case. Is that the argument?
That's my argument, Your Honor, yes.
Okay. And then you're saying Judge Dominguez erred to the extent that he did because he shouldn't have thought that the compensation of interpreters language has any bearing on whether this provision can apply here because it's a unique circumstance and there is a necessary expense in consequence of the Jones Act that normally doesn't apply.
That's true, Your Honor.
So if that's the case, then the right outcome would be to remand for him to exercise the discretion, because it has to be with prior authority of the court. We can't grant you the relief.
If that is a remedy, then we will request that remedy to be remanded and then to him evaluate it under that additional circumstance, yes. I'm done with my... permission to withdraw. Excuse me.
Thank you, counsel. At this time, if the attorney for the appellee will introduce himself on the record to begin.
Ruben Nigagrin on behalf of the appellee. Your Honor, on the matter of the translations, in addition to Taniguchi, the First Circuit had already decided the same thing that Taniguchi did in Davila Feliciano versus State Insurance Fund, 683 Federal 3rd, 405, also a 212 case, same as Taniguchi. The basic issue here is that the interpretation to 28 U.S.C. Section 1920, number six, is basically that interpreters, when being taxed as costs, include the translation in open court. it doesn't include the translation of documents.
Am I missing something? What about this other expenses not specifically allowed by statute but necessary for the case, maybe taxes, costs with prior authorization granted by the court?
Well, basically, he didn't have authorization from the court pursuant to Rule 54D.
The reason given for not having the authorization, as I read the opinion, the only reason given seems to be because it doesn't fall within compensation of interpreters. That seems a mistake, because they seem to be, even if it's not compensation of interpreters, it still can be other expenses. And then the strange question that we have is, can the very thing that doesn't qualify as compensation of interpreters nonetheless be other expenses? But the answer is, yeah, because it's a catch-all. It catches the things that compensation of interpreters doesn't. Most times, this won't fall within other expenses, but the argument is because of the Jones Act, there's a pretty good argument that it's necessary for the case. But what's wrong with that?
Well, basically, Your Honor, I don't read the Section 49 of the Jones Act. By the way, 1917 statute, it's over 100 years. No one has interpreted the way Mr. Rivera wants to interpret it. It has never been brought forward there before this court.
Here we are.
It's a new argument. It's a novel argument. It hasn't been heard before. So my reaction is, it doesn't say. All the Jones Act says is the proceedings in the U.S. District Court shall be in English.
But because of that shall, what is wrong with the idea that this is an expense not specifically allowed by statute otherwise, but necessary for the case? Isn't this an expense necessary for the case?
It wasn't necessary for the case. What Mr. Rivera
under the Jones
did. But
isn't it necessary? I mean, you literally couldn't do any of this untranslated without violating the Jones Act.
Well, what Appellant did, she ordered translation of all the documents filed in the local case at that time. That was a totally, that was totally unnecessary.
Well, that might be the case if you could show that some of it wasn't necessary, but some translation in any case in federal court in Puerto Rico is going to be necessary.
Yes.
So I think at least to that extent, there seems to be some textual hook for the idea that maybe this is covered, but the court has to be the gatekeeper.
If you interpret the rule the way Mr. Rivera wants, then you will have to do the same thing in Louisiana, where you have a French-speaking people going to federal court with maybe written documents in French. So it's not just Puerto Rico. It's not just the Jones Act. It will be the modus operandi of federal courts throughout the nation. It's not just relating to Puerto Rico. Yes, in Puerto Rico, most people speak Spanish. And many documents are brought to federal court and has to be translated because it has to be in English. But that doesn't mean that because that is happening in Puerto Rico, where the Jones Act applies, it's not happening anywhere else in the nation, where the Jones Act does not apply. So we have to change the modus operandi of federal courts throughout the nation. That's my position. The one thing that Mr. Rivera could not address is the issue of attorney fees. And basically, the statute does not authorize it. It's a one-way street. It authorizes attorney fees only if the petitioner prevails in Hague Convention cases. That's not the case. So therefore, there's no abuse of discretion. There is no misconstruction of statutory law. And Appellant simply is wrong. That's my position. And my time is almost over, but If there's any question, I'll gladly try to answer it.
Does the panel?
Thank you.
Nothing. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. At this time, would Attorney Rivera return? He has a 2-minute rebuttal.
Thank you. Briefly, just a brief rebuttal as to the cost, you know, as the Jones Act only applies to Puerto Rico. It is a unique law for Puerto Rico, and thus we are obligated to translate all documents, and it is necessary. With regards to the attorney fees there, I would like to try to rebut fellow counsel. We understand that the CAR Act does not apply. We'll accept that. But we will request, we did request attorney fees based on the rule of frivolous litigation and bad faith litigation. In the Puerto Rico courts, they've said that the main purpose of these attorney fees in cases of obstinacy is to impose a penalty upon a losing party that because of its stubbornness, obstinacy, rashness, and insistent frivolous attitude has forced the other party to needlessly assume the pains, costs, efforts, and inconveniences of a litigation. That's on the case of ENTMNT Inc. versus Torrejon, which is a First Circuit case, 351 F3rd 531. And that case talks about how attorney fees could be awarded if it's understood that the other party was oppressing that party in litigation and forcing that party to incur an unnecessary cost. And what I wanted to explain was that the procedural background of this case before it arrived in federal court, it had a 1-year litigation. They've already, the appellee had requested the same remedies that he requested in federal court, and he submitted himself voluntarily to that jurisdiction, a jurisdiction where it was in Spanish, a jurisdiction where he also mentioned that it was form shopping because it should be litigated in Colombia, which is another Spanish-speaking country. And because of that reason, the appellee had full knowledge that the best place to litigate this case was in Puerto Rico, where it was being litigated for a full year. And based on that reason, Judge Dominguez determined to dismiss the case based on abstention, but for some reason, he inconsistently said that he was not going to impose attorney fees. And we request that that decision be reversed. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That concludes argument in this case. All rise.